Exodus chapter 12. And if you're able to, I'll ask you to stand with me tonight as we read the Word of God. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 29. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent them unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians." Thank you. You may be seated. So last week, we really focused in on the Passover and the picture that is found in the Passover lamb. And we know the 10th plague, which is what we're going to dive into tonight. But at the 10th plague, when God was going throughout the land of Egypt, the Israelites were spared when they had the blood of the innocent lamb on their doorposts. And likewise, we understand tonight, I hope you understand that it is only because of the blood of the Lamb that we are spared. If it were not for Jesus Christ, there would not be a person in this room with hope. We would all be but dead men without the forgiveness that is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I just want to say tonight that the same God who saved those firstborn of the Israelites thousands of years ago is just as capable of saving people today. Amen. And that the blood of Jesus is as good today as it's ever been and never loses its power. And we ought to take the gospel to people as if we believe that truth. Amen. That without the blood on the doorpost of their hearts, without Christ, our neighbors, our family, our friends have no hope. And are dead men. And those without Christ, when they die, continue to be separated from God for all of eternity. Amen. They are separated. Before you were saved, you were separated from God in this life. And I'm so thankful for the Lamb who covers our sins. But tonight, as we look into the 10th plague and some of the things that it entails, we notice that the declaration of the Holy God, notice first that there was judgment that was given upon Egypt. Look in your Bibles at verse 29 and verse 30 once more. The Word of God says, "It came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." This was, of all the plagues, I think we can agree tonight, this was the most devastating plague that took place in Egypt. They suffered, notice first, they suffered the loss of family. The Bible is clear that there was not a house where there was not one dead. This was a devastating loss that swept throughout all of Egypt. And if you're like me, sometimes when you read this, if we're honest, there are times where we read the scriptures and there are times where we see things happen in our own lives and we walk away with the question, is why would God do that, or why would God allow that to happen? Am I the only one who's ever asked that question? Why would God do this? Why would God let that happen? And there are those who look at events like this, especially those who are critical of the Bible and critical of our God, and who will look at stories like this and say, God must not be good because look at all the death and devastation that happened in the Old Testament. But I want to be clear tonight that when this 10th plague happened, there had already been 9 other plagues where God was showing his power and God was showing who he was. And I believe that just like all men today have the opportunity to repent, the Egyptians could have repented and believed in Jehovah. And God had showed himself to be the true and living God. I'm not sure how much, I haven't been here in a couple of Wednesday nights, so I don't know how all of your discussion groups have been going, but have you guys talked about how each of the plagues was really a way that God showed his preeminence over the Egyptian gods? That the Egyptians had gods and goddesses for almost everything. And God in each of these plagues was showing that he was more powerful than all of their gods and goddesses. Warren Wiersbe said, Pharaoh and the Egyptian people sinned against a flood of light and insulted God's mercy. Jehovah had publicly humiliated the Egyptian gods and goddesses and proved himself to be the only true and living God, yet the nation would not believe. Someone mentioned earlier in prayer time, someone mentioned someone who they were sharing the gospel with and they just would not believe. And it's a sad thing when people can see. The book of Romans, the Bible is clear that God has written his law in our hearts. We are without excuse. God shows himself to all men. And anyone who dies without Christ and spends eternity without him will be without excuse, because God has proven himself and he has shown himself to be real. I think it's incredible when you think about verse 29 when it mentions that it was the firstborn of the cattle who had died as well. You think, well, why did that happen? The writer of our study books points this out, but he mentions how it wasn't just idols that the Egyptians worshipped. They worshipped living animals. And so it wasn't just these inanimate objects that God was showing more power than. It was literally the animals themselves that God was showing he was more powerful than. Listen, God is real, and he showed himself to be real. Not only did they suffer the loss of family, the Egyptians suffered the loss of finances. And we'll probably look more at this in our groups, because I can't take up too much time up here. I'm always impressed with our pastor who can manage to get up here and speak for like 10 or 15 minutes and not preach the whole lesson. So it's difficult. But the Egyptians, you think about, by the time they were finally, the Israelites were leaving the land of Egypt. By the time they were finally leaving, the Egyptians essentially said, take whatever you want and get out of here. And it shows that God not only saved his people, but God provided his people with everything they would need going forward. And is that not true for us? That when we're saved, God, he saves us from eternity without him, but he saves us from a life bound in sin. But he doesn't just save us, he provides us with everything we need to go forward and serve him. And we ought to live our lives accordingly. I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me, and as we do, we'll just close this section of our service in a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed to our group times. Just a reminder, we'll be sticking around after service tonight to put the labels on the water bottles. Hope you can stick around and help. Let's have a word of prayer before we dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again so much for your word. Lord, I pray that as we dive in tonight, that you would help us to understand your sovereignty, that we would acknowledge who you are and that you are good. And whatever your judgments are right and just. Lord, I pray tonight that if there be one who hasn't repented of their sins, that even still they would be convicted, and tonight they would cry out for forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live our lives in freedom. Lord, that we would live our lives faithfully to you. We are so thankful for your grace. We ask you to be with us the rest of our evening. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.